fatigue is one general problem that seafarers face, and that is mainly due to work demands of onboard operations. Today on Life at Sea, Captain Tajudeen Alao, who is the president of the Master Mariners Association of Nigeria, shares experiences about those operational demands that deny seafarers their stipulated rest hours, something that actually takes a toll on the seafarer's wellness. Welcome, I am Hope Orivri. Captain, thank you for being here. Kindly share with us some experiences that take the rest hours off the seafarer, what the effects could be, and how this could be better managed.
Thank you very much. The onboard work, the shipboard operations, is governed by maritime convention. For safe watchkeeping, a ship is certified to have minimum manning certificate, number of people that will safely navigate the ship amid emergencies. But in reality, the ship is always undermanned, in the sense that you keep your watch 8 hours. You have rest hour according to the Maritime Labour Convention 2006.
Captain, let me ask you, how many people do you have for watchkeeping?
Normally, it must be minimum of 3.
Okay.
Depending on the size of the ship and the length of voyage.
Okay, yeah.
Because you keep 4 hours on, 8 hours off, and in that 8 hours, your rest hour is there. So you do your 8 hours, but it's not at a stretch.
Okay.
But there are situations where you have done your watch at sea, 4 to 8, and the ship is arriving in the port, 9 p.m. You have to be on standby to assist in taking the ship through the harbor and into the port. So you have overlapped your normal work and gone into the time of your resting for the next work. So when the port operation takes 2 hours, you dock. Officials come on board, they want to check document and all that. They do that with the master. That is additional responsibility. But there can be issues where they have to call you to come and clear this document, your documents for being on board, your passport, your discharge book, your mandatory and things like that. And yet you are going to keep another watch, 4 to 8. Maybe the ship is going to start cargo work straight away. You are going to be up to do cargo work. And you are doing 12 hours in port. The ship is sailing for the deck officer, one man on the bridge, one in the forecastle, one astern, when the ship is coming alongside and when the ship is sailing, leaving the port. But in between, you have to do your cargo work. And when you sail, you are going to keep your watch again and follow the normal sea routine. It's a long voyage from here to Japan. There is plenty of time to tidy up the ship outside the port, you rest and carry on. But if the next port is Ghana and it's under 12 hours,
you have to
again. Another port operations. And this happens with container ship and bulk carrier and tankers, product carrier. With general cargo ship, you have time in port, maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We have stayed 3 months before. But for a functional ship that is on a long journey from here to Brazil, say 8 days or 9 days, when you go to sea, you have time to lash your cargo and then rest, do your documentation, prepare for sea operations.
Now, what we're interested in, from your experience over the years, how has this kind of work back to back without observing the adequate hours of rest impacted on the life and health of seafarers?
Look, for bulk carrier, for tankers, they say you stay 1 day at sea, 1 day leave. So after 4 months, you go on board, you go on leave. For general cargo, you say 6 months article, 9 months maximum, you go on leave. Because you're on board, you are doing the work, even when you think you are sleeping. Your mind is still, because you still have to maintain the ship, painting and stores and things like that, to make sure everything is free. Ship management, running the ship, people have their own problems. Apart from navigation, then cargo work. Messages are coming from ashore, you are replying. You need a spare pump. What query about this? You ask me. The last port you left. So you are perpetually under pressure. No time for fun, no time for. So when the time for you to go and leave, they are flying your relief to you anywhere in the world, and they are flying you home. And when there is emergency like war, outbreak of war, that this COVID, and you cannot, that means you have to overstay on board, bringing additional pressure. And if you could not hear from home, also you are disturbed. Maybe you have a sick child, maybe you have a fiancé on the way. I've known of people, they got married today, the following day they are off to sea. They have to fly out to go and join ship. You understand what I'm telling you now?
Yes.
And if the wife say, oh, it's coming back in 4 months, and then it's now 6 months, 7, 8 months. The woman, you know,
becomes a problem.
Problem, the boy is, he cannot concentrate. And again, when there is bad weather at sea, of course, you cannot sleep well. Bad weather, rough weather. And then the ship is not comfortable. There is rolling, banging, cracking. you cannot sleep well, yet you still have to do your work. If there is engine breakdown, the ship is drifting, and the engineers have to be there to make sure to change piston head and all that. It's a lot of work, fatigue on them, or there is blackout. They make sure there is power back on the ship. So, continually on board, there is workload. And because they cannot flood in those days, national line, we could be 48 crew members. But ideally, we should not be more than 20 or 18. But because it's a national ship, you are able to put people more on board, and it's for training, and the berths are available. But ideally, it's minimum of 18. So there is no room for... In fact, in those days, they will fly you going around the Cape of Africa, and then they will take you out. You will join ship in an... I'm not talking of oil and gas, where they go out 2 weeks and come back 2 weeks in Nigerian waters. I'm talking of international shipping.
Once this has been identified as a problem, as a cause of fatigue
and accidents
on seafarers, yes, and then they are probably not able to cope, and it could eventually lead to some form of accident on board ships.
Wrong judgment and things like
good.
That.
So what should be done? Because it's all about solutions.
It's training and training. For you, that's why it is paramilitary, for you to be able to withstand pressure. Thank. And there must be backup. In those days, the moment the ship gets in a dock, they are coming with mails for the seamen. That's what the agent will bring first. The headquarters make sure anywhere in the world, mails follows the ship. Anywhere in the world, they will take your mail on board. Everybody likes to get letter.
Yeah.
But now in the days of internet and phone, so this mission to seamen, when the ship gets into Lagos port, they come and take you, you can go and make phone call. In those days, you have to go to Nitel to make international. You cannot call from the ship. But this day, you can buy phone, put SIM card and make calls. That will take some pressure off you. Commercially, it's not possible to overman a ship. Every day, the running cost is becoming, seamen wages are high, so they are reducing. And they are bringing more workload, like documented. We used to have a radio officer, we have a chief steward, and we have what we call a cargo superintendent on board. All these three have been taken out. That's what I'm telling you now.
Yes.
Now you have a man machinery space. Chief engineer normally doesn't keep watch and captain, but now you find them keeping watch.
Oh.
8 to 12 is captain, 12 to 4 is second officer, 4 to 8 is chief officer. Oh. But now when you have a third officer on board,
yes,
he will now keep the watch of the captain.
Yeah.
But the captain will still be awake. He's still looking outside his window. He's still coming on the bridge because it's his responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the third officer.
Right.
You understand? And at the same time, he's also foreseeing other people, what they are doing.
Now, sir, I want you to look at the issue of crew change. As a result of this COVID-19 lockdown, we heard so much about difficulties concerning crew change. How, from your perspective, did it impact on the psyche of the seafarers? And having experienced this all over the world, what do you think should be in place now, since this has served as an example, a lesson for everyone?
From my own experience, we have had something similar to this before in practice. The only problem we have this time was it was not prepared for. The only time we had is additional cost. I told you before, you could lift somebody, put on board at sea.
Yes.
And they are joining ship and take people off by chopper. Even in Nigeria, they take people on and off from Lagos to the rig and back. But because of cost, they are now putting people on boats to go in and out. It has been there. The problem this time is the isolation period. No provision, nobody expected this, and no provision was made for it, that you have to be isolated for some time before you join and when you come off. And at whose cost? The ship owner, they are operating at minimal gain, and they have to go and keep somebody plus all the attendants' welfare for 14 days.
But since this has happened now, and we all know that the very important thing is the well-being of the seafarer,
yes,
for future purposes, what should, like, as an advice?
The advice is that provision should be made, because there is what we call quarantine. Even before, if there's an outbreak of cholera on board the ship or where you are coming from, they will quarantine you in a special area, anchorage.
Yes.
They call it quarantine anchorage. They will keep you there. It's government to support. If government is ready to support and provide that instead of ship owner
providing the quarantine area.
So even on the land, government to provide the quarantine area on the land, i.e. in Takwapi, i.e. in Lado, i.e. in Tomoro Island. If the ship carry toxic waste, the ship will be quarantined.
Yeah.
If there is outbreak of cholera on the ship, it will be quarantined. So it has always been there. But at whose cost? When you are at anchorage, it's supposed to be free. But when you are in port, who is going to pay? For you, for me. Even people that they bring from UK at their own expense, they put them in hotel. So government, if you know that shipping is backbone of your economy, also you should make emergency provision for this. And no government is doing that.
In fact, I think that's just what I wanted to hear from you, to look at the necessity for making emergency provisions. I hope actually that lessons learned would serve as guide for better provisions and structure in future.
We have this practical solution. Yeah. Up to today, they have not done anything for people in international shipping. It's, they are thinking of oil and gas. In Nigeria, we have ships on coastal trade, ship anchorage. People go and join. But when it is off Port Harcourt, it's not possible.
Yeah.
And for international ship coming and going, there was a ship where the master said cannot go. They needed a Nigerian master to go on a foreign ship in Nigeria. They couldn't get.
Well, Captain Alo, we say thank you so much for sharing this with us. We hope that those who should know have heard and they will begin to consider all this as guide for preparations ahead in the future.
Because we still expect something.
A number of things could happen and nobody knows.